vales and hills along, earth is bursting into song, and the singers are the chaps who are going to die, perhaps. Oh, sing, marching men, till the valleys ring again. Give your gladness to earth's keeping, so be glad when you are sleeping. Cast away regret and rue, think what you are marching to. Little live, great pass. Jesus Christ and Barabbas were found the same day. This died, then went his way. So sing with joyful breath for why you are going to death. Teeming earth will surely store all the gladness that you pour. Earth that never doubts nor fears, earth that knows of death not tears, earth that bore with joyful ease hemlock for Socrates. Earth that blossomed and was glad, neath the cross that Jesus had, shall rejoice and blossom too when the bullet reaches you, where four men marching on the road to death sing. Pour your gladness on earth's head, so be merry, so be dead. From the hills and valleys earth, shout back the sound of mirth, tramp of feet and lilt of song, ringing all the road along. All the music of their going, ringing, swinging, glad songs throwing. Earth will echo still when foot lies numb and voice mute. On marching men, on to the gates of death with song. Sow your gladness for earth's reaping, so you may be glad though sleeping. Strew your gladness on earth's bed, so be merry, so be dead. The war poets had a way of describing the true horrors of war that brings the pain and fear across powerfully, and often more than a hint of futility. We've heard of Wilfred Owen and Siegfried Sassoon, but I wonder how many of you have heard of Charles Hamilton Sorey. I hadn't heard of him until this week when someone at the Doric Dabblers group mentioned him. Charles Hamilton Sorley was born here in Aberdeen in 1985. His father was then professor of moral philosophy at the university. And it was his father's appointment at Knightsbridge as Knightsbridge professor at Cambridge that took the family south in 1900. Charles won a scholarship to Marlborough College, where he started in 1908 when he was just 13. Charles was due to take up a scholarship at University College Oxford in the autumn of 1914. So with the agreement of parents and schoolmasters, he left Marlborough in December 1913 to spend a few months abroad in Germany. Plans for a last walking week in the Moselle were interrupted by declaration of war, and he and a friend were briefly arrested before making their way safely back to Britain. The morning after his arrival home, he applied for a commission and joined the Suffolk Regiment. The regiment went to France the following year in May 1915, and by September, Sorley had been made a captain. His battalion was moved to take part in the Battle of Loos, taking position at the front line on the night of the 12th of October. Sorley was killed in action the next day, aged just 20. He wrote poems about war and was regarded by many of his peers as among the best of the war poets, up there with Sassoon and Owen. And yet, how many of us have heard of this man? The poem I began with was written by Charles Hamilton Sorley, Ín Ó Uaireann, an Aberdeen loon. Today is a day of remembrance, a day for reflecting on the past and paying tribute to people like Charles Hamilton Sorley, who went to war but did not come home. Young men and women who served their country in the pursuit of peace. Our reading from James this morning speaks into this season of remembrance with words of wisdom that the world could do with heeding, in a world that has several places sitting on the tipping point between war and peace, James's words about listening to God's word and putting it into practice are pertinent. Listening is something that we simply don't do enough of. I suspect if we did more listening, then there might be just fewer tipping points. The letter of James, written for the Christian communities of the diaspora outside of Palestine, is still relevant in our multicultural, secularized, and globalized world. It stresses the importance of works, in other words, the concrete practice of love. We must not merely listen to the word, we must act. James urges his readers to be quick to listen but slow to speak. The importance of listening to build and keep peace at all levels cannot be overstated. This virtue is even more necessary for those who bear responsibility. As well as being quick to listen and slow to speak, James invites us to be slow to anger. Now there's a challenge. Slow to anger, and yet there seems to be so much in the world to get angry about. And yet, what does anger actually achieve? Certainly not God's righteous purpose, according to James. Instead, we should listen to God's word and then put it into action. Faith and action are the great themes of the book of James. Faith and action go hand in hand. You cannot have faith without acting that faith out. And the action that James encourages is an action that is for the good of others. In James's time and place, that meant sharing the love of God with the orphans and widows. And we have our own places and people that need our actions and our love. The great commandment to love God and to love your neighbour cannot be achieved if we do nothing. I googled listening skills yesterday and came across the webpage of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and what a find. He has an article on listening, and in it he explains that the word shema is translatable to hear, to listen, to understand, among other things. O hear the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it shall come to pass, if you surely listen to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Those were the openings of the first and second paragraphs of the Shema, the central Jewish prayer, but also well known to us as the greatest commandment. In his article, Rabbi Sacks says this of listening. There is something profoundly spiritual about listening. It is the most effective form of conflict resolution I know. Many things can create conflict, but what sustains it is the feeling on the part of at least one of the parties that they have not been heard, that they have not been listened to. We have not heard their pain. There has been a failure of empathy. That's why the use of force, or for that matter, boycotts to resolve conflict is so profoundly self-defeating. It may suppress it for a while, but it will return, often more intense than before. Job, who had suffered unjustly, is unmoved by the arguments of his comforters. It is not that he insists on being right. What he wants is to be heard. And Rabbi Sacks goes on, listening lies at the very heart of relationship. It means that we are open to the other, that we respect him or her, that their perceptions and feelings matter to us. We give them permission to be honest, even if this means making ourselves vulnerable in doing so. A good parent listens to their child. A good employer listens to his or her workers. A good company listens to its customers or clients. A good leader listens to those he or she leads. Listening does not mean agreeing, but it does mean caring. Listening is the climate in which love and respect grow. And he then concludes with this absolute nugget of gold. Crowds are moved by great speakers, but lives are changed by great listeners. Whether between us and God or us and other people, listening is the prelude to love. If only our world leaders could do more listening. Listening to those they see as the enemy, listening instead of shouting. If only our politicians and would-be politicians in this general election season would do more listening instead of shouting. How good would it be to see them actually listen to each other instead of shout over each other in the televised debates that we'll undoubtedly watch? This season of remembrance evokes in us a mixture of emotions. Sadness at the loss of life, revisited grief at the loss of loved ones, patriotism in what our forebears fought for and our current armed forces strive to achieve, peace. Fear and despair because war is a reality in so many places, that bombs and guns still cause death and destruction. How good would it be if through listening, war was no more? In a world where we are bombarded by all kinds of messages, the voice of the gospel sometimes becomes inaudible. The announcement of the good news of Jesus Christ has become inaccessible to a large part of the world. Translated into concrete acts of love, the language of faith can rediscover its power and meaning. Then the words of the gospel can touch people's hearts beyond our churches and change their lives. Imagine a world where all listened to the word of God and all were inspired to put that word into action. How good would that be? What was it the rabbi said? Lives are changed by great listeners, whether between us and God or us and other people. Listening is the prelude to love. And amen to that.